Oh, I just love Poncho Sanchez, Master Conguero, and composer, old school, all the way. That's the start of Afro-Cuban fantasy. It's also the name, or the title, I should say, of his album, on which it appears, and this album goes all the way back to 1998 as well. So I just love listening to this particular selection. It is so well orchestrated. It's beautiful. This is Lead Stories. I'm Yatrice Lead, and we're in the midst of a something that wants to be a storm here in South Florida. It hasn't quite made up its mind whether it wants to be a storm or whether it just wants to pretend to be a storm. Either way, it has not, mercifully, it has not begun to be a storm yet, although people are still hoping, people love this kind of drama, hoping that eventually it will become a storm, one of the first ones that we're having for the season. But my bet is that it is going to take a lot more than what it's showing now to be a storm. But we have a lot of things to talk about today, and let's get to it. The first thing I wanted to talk about, as you know, there's been quite a to-do about the collapse of this building in an area adjacent to an area that you know, or we would know, as Miami. But it is going back and forth. It's a tragedy, a major tragedy. So many people dying. They finally decided that what they would do is to bring down, to implode the rest of the building, whatever was left standing, because people didn't know what would happen in the with this storm striking, if it actually strikes as a storm, whether it would encourage the rest of the building that's standing to fall. So that was a major safety question, and for the rescuers in particular. So far, 11 bodies, sorry, 11 days after the collapse of the building, they have confirmed 24 dead and more than 121 unaccounted for. So it apparently was a smart idea to implode whatever was left standing because it was not safe leaving it in that condition and with this storm approaching. They thought that it was going to be really hazardous to just leave it that way. So they essentially brought the building, the rest of the building, down so that they can now broaden and widen their search to make it easier to locate bodies under the rubble. So it is not a good sight. It's a very gruesome business, but it has to be done. And it's at times like this that you marvel that there are people who do these kinds of things. I would have stayed there just staring at the building, not knowing what next to do. But they know implicitly what they should do. They strategized. And I'm sure there are people who said, now they're crazy. There's a building there, something of a building there, and now they want to bring it down too. So we don't know what they're doing. But of course, this is the difference between having the experience and the expertise and not knowing a thing about what you're doing. So the effort continues to locate bodies, whether living or dead, because in any event, people are very, very upset about not being able to retrieve the bodies of their loved ones. And many of them remain under the rubble from the very first collapse, and now 11 days, today is day 12 actually, still the going is very slow, as they expect it to be. But as I always say at times like these, thank God for people like that who have the expertise, who are able to respond intelligently to a major disaster, and who are working around the clock to find answers, even at this hour. So as I said, 24 confirmed dead so far, and 121 unaccounted for, and they continue to work. The people who, the responders who are doing this kind of work, have said that they will continue working until they are sure there's nobody else to be found. So that is their commitment. Interestingly, the rest of the country, of course, is watching this. And we see now that there are concerns, similar concerns, in San Francisco, where a major building called the Millennium Tower has been found to be sinking and leaning. And it is a matter of time before something disastrous happens and people are trying to figure out how to head it off. But it's smack dab in the middle of all of these skyscrapers. And now that the building has been found to be sinking and leaning, these are not good signs. And they have to strategize rather quickly on what to do, how to save the building, and certainly how to save the people in it. So we will see more of these stories occurring. And they are kind of a reminder of the rate of growth that the United States at a certain point experienced, where people just went mad. And the only way to go was up. The taller, the better. Taller and taller buildings were built. And it was a marvel when they were completed. But now we are seeing that people are wondering, did they dot all the I's and cross all the T's? Are we going to see a rash of buildings collapsing all over the United States? And is something going to be done preemptively? Because for the size of buildings that are showing these signs of, you know, they've had their turn and the buildings are no longer useful or safe to occupy. So they have to be, something has to be done about them. And the only thing many people are saying is just you put them up, you take them down. But it's not as easy as that. A lot of money went into these buildings, especially I remember when I first came to South Florida, the real estate industry was mad. As simple as that. It was a madhouse. Anywhere you could put a building, people put a building. And the corruption was just rife. It was all over. People didn't bother to get permits for this or for that. They just wanted to build something so that they could sell it for an atrocious amount of money. And then there were people wanting to buy. They had the money, many of them from overseas, many from other parts of the country, who believed they could live the Riviera life. And they did for quite a while. They ignored all of the signs that they were given, that things were deteriorating rapidly. There was such crookedness going on in the industry, the real estate industry and the real estate construction industry. People were inclined not to do a good job. Just get the building up and let's sell it. You know, that was the attitude. And so we had, as we saw, as we have seen and are seeing with these buildings in South Florida, when things go wrong, they go wrong. And it's not an easy fix. And people's lives are literally hanging in the balance. Imagine, you know, you go to bed. The last thing on your mind is that this building will not be here in the morning. But then it turns out the building won't be there in the morning. So now the industry is beginning to have these pangs of remorse, and people are asking questions. Did they do the right thing by ignoring all of the signs that were showing up that said, this is not right. This was not done properly. You guys skirted all kinds of regulations because it was about making a fast buck, making money quickly, and people wanting to buy quickly. There's a lot of money flowing around. And people were coming in by the plane loads to buy property in South Florida. If you had a latrine to sell, they will buy it and tear it down and put something else right on top of it. And that was the kind of avarice that we saw and experienced here, where it was as if the people were on some kind of a psychotic drug. They were not being logical. They were not being careful. They were not adhering to standards. Nobody was adhering to standards, practically. Just build it as fast as you can. Get it ready as fast as you can. The minute you just say, well, you don't even have to complete the sentence. Sold. Somebody is willing to put down ridiculous amounts of money to buy something that was shoddily built and not going to last, and in fact will become hazardous to the people living in it and around it. And so said, so done. So this is the aftermath, where people all over South Florida, especially people on the beaches, that's what they wanted. The real estate industry went mad because they finally got all these incredible properties. Everybody wanted to be on the beach. I mean, common sense tells you it's not a good idea. You know, I was raised in my life growing up on the sea. And there's nothing that would startle you more than seeing what your environment would look like after you've been away from it for a couple of years. And you go back. And you go, well, wait a minute. Is this the same place? Of course, it changes. Currents pulling sand here and pulling it there, changing the topography. It is, but Americans were so hypnotized by the idea that after all this time of waiting, they have an opportunity to buy a little piece of land on which to build a ridiculous house or build, buy into a ridiculous condo operation. And nothing is running according to the law. Nobody's observing rules. Nobody's getting inspections done. They're not even waiting for the building to actually be finished before people are showing up with their trucks and whatnot, getting ready to occupy. So in a way, this is a terrible reminder, it is, because this is only one building and you have 24 dead confirmed and 121 unaccounted for. That's just one building. And imagine this multiplied by several developments all across Florida and other places, where the catch was, you know, you could live like the wealthy people on the Riviera. The property might be worth $5,000, but you'd be happy to pay us $50,000, and then you can boast to your friends that you live on the water. Well, you're getting what you paid for. There is no place as corrupt as Florida and the real estate market, because there's so much money tied to it, and everybody wanted to make money. Everybody, from the developer to the agent to the home or the would-be homeowner, everybody was in a race for some reason to get their hands on a piece of property, and ignoring their common sense. You know, you want a piece of property on the beach? You could get that. But take a picture now and see whether 3 years from now you recognize it. This is moving water. This is currents pulling the sand and pulling everything in one direction or another every day. But you can't talk to people who believe they know everything and who believe if they don't know everything, they have enough money to hire people who know everything. And even as we see with our own eyes, as they say, the horrible fallout of all of the rotten interests that came together to form the so-called real estate industry in South Florida, people are still, right now, if you have a little piece of land and you put a sign on it saying for sale, before you finish hammering the last sign into the ground, you'll have somebody willing to buy it. It used to really startle me, because you can't imagine where their brains are. You know, your brain is gone. You're not thinking logically. And yet you're willing to put all these thousands and thousands of dollars on something you imagine would come to symbolize how well you're doing in life. Well, we see the end of that, what it could be. So, who ultimately bears the responsibility for guaranteeing the integrity and safety of a building designed and built as a high-rise in and under conditions as the ones in South Florida, who ultimately is responsible for the decision that people are making to make an investment in something so insane? The building is going to move. You go to any island in the Caribbean, people will tell you that. You know, you have this hankering to live on the sea. Well, the sea is not especially friendly to that kind of idea. The sea goes wherever it wants to go, whenever it's ready to go there. And you could talk Paul and preach Saul, and we had a whole industry governed by this kind of thinking. There's money to be made. And I'm telling you, it was as if people lost their minds, lost their common sense. All they wanted is a little sliver of land. It didn't matter if they had to come out on their porch and crane their necks out in order to see the sea, as long as they could claim that they have a piece of property on the ocean. Well, you see what you get. And then you have those co-ops, people living in condos where people are organized as groups to get things done as a group. And all you get is infighting and personality conflicts and people bringing in their favorite contractors and inflating the prices for services that they need, but they get a cut. They get a cut, so they don't care. It's all kind of coming home now. In this one particular situation, we saw the combination of all of that over several years producing utter mayhem. And yet people still are in denial that, you know, this is what they have brought upon themselves. This is the evil that they have done to themselves by refusing to be logical and to follow good advice. Is it that important to you that you must live on the water? Do you know anything about living on the water? Have you ever lived any place where you've lived on the water? Do you understand the behavior of the sea? They don't care about that. They didn't care about that then. They care about it now. It's too late. So I'm asking this question just the same. In the tragic aftermath of the collapse of a 12-story beachfront condo building in Surfside, with 24 people confirmed dead and 124 residents still unaccounted for, 11 days, now 12 days after the building's collapse, what was a tragedy, in fact, totally avoidable? And why would you say so? I would say the tragedy was totally avoidable from any number of angles here. Do you have to live on the water? Are you prepared? Do you understand what it takes to live on the water? Do you know what that means? Have you ever understood how the sea behaves as a body of water? Do you have any appreciation at all for what it is you're trying to accomplish? But not because you love the ocean, but because you want to, you know, you want to boast. You want to have a high profile. You want to impress people. And then the ocean reminds you in the worst kind of way that you need to be reminded that it is the boss. It is the boss. And you will have to summon up enough intestinal fortitude to deal with that. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. It sounds a little harsh, but in fact, that's the truth. Nobody anywhere in the world who has spent any time living either next to the sea or on the sea takes the sea casually and presumes they know how to manage it. Nobody does that. You have to know what you're getting into. And it's not because you can, you know, go down to some contractor and the contractor comes and they bring in their machinery and everything else and you feel all protected. You don't know the sea. You have no idea, no respect for the reality of what the sea life is like. 888-874-4888. And this is how we learn many times the hard way. We learn the hard way that what we desire is not feasible. And we will have to accept something else instead if we want to live a happy life and a fulfilled life. But you could be like these people. Rush, rush, rush. And, you know, American know-how, they know how to do this. And I have faith in their machines and whatever else they do to build a house near the sea or even on it, as if you're going to win. You're not going to win. You have to understand and respect certain things in life. No matter how prepared you think you are to deal with it, you feel you are the master of all you survey, but you're not. And you must take advice. I'm sure there's somebody someplace when all this fever was so contagious, the beach fever, everybody wanted to live on the beach. Everybody wanted a view of the beach because it reminded them of the French Riviera. Well, good. Now you know. Now you know that you don't make the decision to live on the French Riviera very casually. You're talking about the water here. And there's a certain amount of respect you have to have for it, and you have to know what you're doing. So I don't see anybody yet. What's going on? You're getting shy? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And we also have, compounding all of this, death by negligence. Even after the people acquired the property, and they acquired just the piece of land they wanted that gave them just a view of the sea that they wanted, the fact is they didn't maintain the properties well. The properties were not well maintained. And certainly the properties were not safe to live in. But it didn't matter. It was on the sea. And that made them members of a certain class of people. Yeah, well, what do you think now? 888-874-4888. I'm waiting for your calls. It may sound like I'm being very harsh, but I'm not, because these questions were raised at the time when the real estate industry, to call it that, went nuts in South Florida. People literally lost their minds behind an imagined way of life. And they believed, look, all you needed is just money. And with enough money to pump into your imagined way of life, you can have it. So you could say, you know, you get up in the morning and you look right outside of your veranda and you get a fantastic and commanding view of the sea. The sea is doing its own thing. Just check under your house and see.
Nutrice, you got Gwen from New York.
I'm sorry? Okay. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, my God. I was the first one to call before you even got three sentences out, because this is such a passionate subject for me. So if you don't mind me just saying that, you know, when I was little and going to church, I really didn't understand what they were talking about, worshiping the golden calf. Like, I really didn't know what they were talking about. Like, talking about golden cows? I mean, what are you talking about? And the older I get, the more I realize that book that we trivialize really has quite a bit of wisdom in it. You know, whether you believe in God or not, this is a huge problem, because we are an egocentric society. We are focused on status. We are very unfocused on humility. And so when these rushes happen, tragedy happens. I want to tell you first that I'm a preservationist. I save old buildings in New York, and right now I'm working on an African-American burial ground. The next thing I want you to know is that my father is, we are three generations of Carpenters Union. We own a business. We build custom homes. And I'm a preservation girl, and my dad's 98 years old, and he helps me to find these hot spots and how to stop these people, because they're insane. Now, the first person that we could blame for this is Ronald Reagan, because Ronald Reagan took away the Army. The Army Corps of Engineers was the one that designated on whether or not you could build on a site. And into the 1980s, or up to the 1980s, you could not build in the areas they are building on today and they were building on in the 1990s. And after they deregulated that and they put FEMA in place, that meant that, you know, go ahead and build on this site where everything could fall down, because guess what? The government will come in and they'll build it up. They'll build it back for you, okay? So there was no risk anymore to the consumer, except they might die when the building falls down on them. But Ronald Reagan was the first one. Now, this year, under Trump, when he destroyed the Clean Water Act, he also allowed even more corrupt, crazy building to go on, because in the Clean Water Act, they were the ones that were protecting what was left of the wetlands here in America. I will tell you, and you know this, Utrice, that there's one place that's even more corrupt than Florida, and that's New York. There is no place in the world that's more corrupt when it comes to building than New York City. And right now, we are tearing down our churches. Five of them have gone down in Harlem. Another one went down in East Harlem 2 months ago. We have one on 73rd Street went down. All of these buildings are historically significant. They are beautiful, and they're being torn down because there are no blue-collar jobs left. The only blue-collar job that's really left that you can still make money at are these building jobs. So the way that our government is hobbling along, keeping people working, is having them continue to work in the construction business, which keeps getting bigger and bigger with less and less land to grow on. And that's why they keep allowing these laws to be enacted. So now we've got this overabundance building on all kinds of hazardous places. You know, one last thing, my dad was born in Miami, Florida, and my dad, when he grew up, was living in Orlando, and Orlando had nothing on it. It was just orange trees. And, you know, for years and years and years, right into the 60s, I remember jokes all the time on TV saying, I got a great piece of swampland for you, and it was in Florida. And then all of a sudden, they started building like there was no tomorrow. And that was in not just in Florida. That boom happened in Arizona as well, in Phoenix, in a place where, you know, this place can sustain life, but it can't sustain the kind of life that they have now. They only have two sources of water. That's the Hoover Dam and the Colorado River. Hoover Dam is so low that if it goes down by three more inches, their turbines are going to be exposed. And the Colorado River is down by two-thirds. And yet, those two sources of water are supplying the water for California, for Arizona, Colorado, and Nevada. This is really dangerous stuff. So when we deregulate and everybody thinks they're getting over on somebody else, you're really not getting over on anybody. You're not getting over on anything. And I noticed that even though I am not in Florida, all year, all winter long, my father and I would go out in Cape May, where they live now, and we would look at the water and where it was sitting and where it was rising. And the reason why it was sitting in all these places is because when they tore up the wetlands under Trump, and I realize now why the builders loved him. They loved him so much because Cape May was built out 15 years ago. And then all of a sudden you had all this new building. What were they building on? They were building on the wetlands. Well, you know what? That was a great idea because when it rained, the water now doesn't drain. So now swaths of forest areas are just going under and turning into like petrified forests because the water is salt water and also the water is high, so it's killing off the trees. People are also losing their homes because of enormous amount of flooding. Two things are happening. You've got overbuilding and you have global warming happening at the same time. And instead of anybody being careful, it seems that the more danger is in front of us, the less careful we become. But anyone would know that you cannot build a high rise. The only reason why we can build high rises in New York is because we are on bedrock. That's it. You can't build them on sand, and you sure as hell can't build them on fault lines in California. And yet, we keep going. And I just want to tell people, because there's a lot of confusion about older buildings, and people say, oh, you know, the buildings. When a builder wants a site, they'll come in and tell you, oh, that building's falling down, it's rickety and all this crap. I saved our school in East Harlem called PS 109. It's 130 years old. And they tried to pull that crap on us. And that building is still standing today. I went up against the Board of Education and the School Corruption Authority, and I beat them. And what I want to say is that keeping that building alive in this community has meant so much. It's beautiful. Not only is it beautiful, but get this, audience. Older buildings are always built better. They are more structurally sound. You could not buy the materials today that they built 100 years ago. It doesn't exist anymore. So whatever they're building today is inferior to whatever building you have that's 100 years or older. Not only are older buildings more beautiful, but they are built with better materials and they're more sound than anything they're going to put up today. So I think that who is directly responsible? Well, I would say it was Ronald Reagan in the 1980s. And I would say it's just another atrocity under Trump because Trump kept this thing. He revived it. He just let them take part two. And so I think those two are directly responsible. But I also think the builders should be put in prison. The builders won't be put in prison because each building only is guaranteed for up to 2 years. So those builders that built that place, they can walk away right now. And as I told you before when I called the other day, this is the canary in the coal mine. 84 more buildings are behind this building, which are now being considered to have people leave them in Florida because they're also looking at them being structurally unsound. And as Gary Knoll has told us many times, that, you know, that Florida is, I hate to say it, Teresa, I know you live there, but, you know, Florida is going to be hit very badly by global warming. And to build so unwisely on such a delicate piece of land is going to cause utter mayhem. And you know what else I couldn't believe? The last thing I want to tell you is a friend told me that she doesn't have any friends that are living here in New York. They all moved. I said, well, where did they move? She said, oh, they moved to Miami. I said, oh, my God, you must be out of your mind.
Oh, this is before what a moved. Great choice.
Wasn't that a great idea? Human beings are beyond arrogant, okay? We need to get some humility because when you don't, your house is going to fall on your head and kill you. Dum-dums.
What a great, great idea. Sure. And this is what I mean. At some point, you know, we're looking at this as if it's separate and apart from the absolute necessity for people to make wise choices. And when I first came to Florida, this is years ago now, I was wondering, is there something in the air or something in the water that makes people this crazy to think that the things that they're thinking of doing are actually doable and, you know, would last? They're nuts. As I said, well, we live near the water and in Trinidad, and you go down to the water today and say you go away for about a week or two, it would have changed. The topography would have changed in that time. That's the incredible power of the water. It does what it wants to do. You could figure out all kinds of ways to contain it, but it is not going to work. It just has its own mind. This is crazy.
Well, you know, Eutrice, I will just tell you that people seem to only care only about the money, the golden calf. That's all they consider. And so that if that's all you consider, then you live by the calf, you die by the calf. And that is what I see happening here, because when every single ounce of common sense goes out the window, and you have very qualified people like the Army Corps of Engineers who did their job very well for many, many years. And my dad's an old builder. He's 98 years old. And he has always known that you can't build in these places. He knew it. He knew it when we were out this winter and I was showing him the places where the builders are building. We both knew it and we knew what was going to happen. But FEMA was created so you can, you know, for rich people to build their summer houses there. It gets knocked down. Go ahead, rebuild it. The taxpayers will pay for it again. I mean, this is ridiculous. You're not just going to lose your house sometimes. You're going to lose your life. And I also, as a taxpayer, don't see why I have to pay for it. I don't have to. Why should I have to pay for what you couldn't even get insured? And understand something. In Cape May, New Jersey right now, you can't get new houses insured. They will not insure them because of the global warming and the storms that are happening all along the East Coast. So if the insurance companies are not willing to insure you, why should I be willing to insure you? Because you're crazy? No, I don't think so. You go live in an asylum, all right? And I'll keep my taxes.
Well, thank you for your call. I'm so You're glad welcome. To hear this opinion, because after a while there, I thought I was beginning to feel lonely.
Well, you're very smart. You were right.
Everybody's talking about the tragedy. The tragedy is that people lost their minds a long time ago and trying to bend nature's will according to what they believe their dreams are and to make it work accordingly. It doesn't work like that. Anybody from any island could tell you, you have to have maximum respect for the sea. The sea is a creature all its own. It does whatever it wants to do. And what you have to do is to respect it and try to find ways that you can work with it, but it is the boss, plain and simple. Thanks for your call today. 888-874-4888.
We got Gary from Manhattan.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Gary from Manhattan, you're on the air.
Yes, Latrice, I'm here.
Okay,
you don't have to worry
you're on the
about,
air.
Latrice, you don't have to worry about the building sinking. All you have to wait is for a 4 or 5 hurricane. Global warming of the oceans, they'll do it a lot faster than sinking buildings.
You see, the point I'm making is, supposedly we have had the great fortune of having industries that were leaders in their respective fields. They were the ones who would tell us, and we would believe them because that was the nature of the relationship. We trusted their judgment. We trusted their experience and their expertise. And they were the ones who would say, this is not a good idea. Don't pursue it. You're going to regret it. And people listened. But there came a point, and it was all about making a fast buck, where people set aside all of that and said, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. You could build a house, a vertical house on a horizontal cliff, and it would be all right. It would just fine. And people believed that, and they went along with it. The whole industry in Florida, when I first came here, was a mess, a total mess, because people were cutting corners and making all kinds of things.
Latrice, I understand your point. I understand what you're saying. I'm saying is it doesn't make any difference, because a hurricane is going to wipe them out a lot faster than the sinking buildings. I mean, the future, if you're talking about the future, if you're talking about the oceans warming up, it doesn't matter how much you've been lied to, those buildings are going to go down anyway. And a lot sooner than sinking buildings.
So why do you think that it's going ahead, helter-skelter, just the same? People are not listening. And they believe that even if they're facing daunting odds, they have the technology and the know-how to overcome all of that.
Well, actually, before today, I had no idea that, what you were saying about the water creeping up and all that, I had no respect for the oceans or the tides or anything until 20 minutes ago until I heard you. But the only reason why I would never buy anything by the ocean is because everything they've built in the last 20 years is going to be wiped out anyway by a hurricane. I mean, look at Far Rockaway. Latrice, you still there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening to you.
Okay. Look at Far Rockaway. 20 years ago, it was a desert. You had 50 blocks of blank, just empty lots. Now it's all filled, beautiful little homes. And all you need is one little hurricane. One big hurricane, and everything they built in the last 15 years will be wiped out.
What
you know
is
that's
behind
happen, right?
all of this? Why are people not listening, and why do people believe that, yes, nature has its way, and it has a strong way, but we are better equipped than nature. We're smarter than nature. We're stronger than nature.
Well, you said it. You said it yourself, Latrice. People live in their homes. That's where they want to live. And why didn't people leave the big hurricane in Louisiana? Why didn't they leave? They wanted to stay in their homes. They wanted to believe that's where they should go. They don't want to leave. I will not leave my apartment until something wipes it off. But I'm pretty much safe where I am in Manhattan, where I am. I'm not by the river, you know what I mean? So the thing is that people will stay to the end because they love. I've been here 50 years. I will not think of leaving. I'm too comfortable. All right? But even though I know I'm safe, you know, but even if I wasn't safe, I'd still stay here. That's the way it works, Latrice.
Okay.
But
you
let me say one more thing.
Right there.
One more thing before I hang up.
Sure.
I was thinking, you know, this jazz of yours and this incredible knowledge you have, and the music is just, every time the show starts, I want to hear a whole hour of what it is that you're playing, stuff that I never heard of before, and you come out with all this incredible knowledge, information. How about once a month, just once a month, how about doing a jazz show? You play your favorite pieces, you say all these wonderful things about it. You know, because every time you start the show, all I want to do is hear more music.
You know, you're not the first person to tell me that. The people say they sometimes wait in anticipation just to hear the music. What will start off the program? And maybe you have a point. I should listen.
I'm not saying you should do it every week or just once a month.
I get it.
Give us the knowledge of incredible pieces, explained and intricate in great detail about this and that. It's just incredible. I'm sure after I hang up for the next 2 weeks, everybody who's going to call you is going to say, yes, let's do a jazz show once a month.
Well,
I promise
you,
Latrice, they will call you day and night from now on.
All right. Well, I will certainly take it, as they say, under advisement. If it's
Thank
doable, I'll try and do it. Because I love the music so much.
Yes, but we love it too. That's the problem.
As a kid, I was smitten. So it is the one thing that I absolutely enjoy.
I know
no
nothing about jazz. I couldn't care less about jazz. But when you get on the radio and you start talking about this and that, I want to hear everything.
Okay. Well, I thank you for that.
All right.
I thank you for that. And let's see what I can do.
Don't worry.
Thank you.
You won't have to. Everyone's going to call you. They're going to tell you. Don't worry.
Okay. Thank you so much, Gary. 888-874-4888. We have time for at least one more call, a substantive call. If you want to call 888-874-4888. We're talking about this phenomenon.
We have Gene from Maryland.
Gene from Maryland, you're on the air.
Hi, Eutrice. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I think I would also vote for the once a month jazz show as well. I would request some vocals. One of my favorites is the great Joe Williams. So I'll just throw that in.
Oh, there. I listened to him just last night.
Well, I listened to Joe quite frequently, and I was really saddened a few years ago when he passed, but I listened to him regularly. On to today's topic about this question about this building down in Florida. So what was it, 2 weeks ago when I called, you know, we were talking about the construction and how the concrete may have been weakened and so forth. Something else occurs to me along this line. If you take a look and following the news on this, the condo association had knowledge that the building was in desperate need of repair. And the cost for those repairs were in excess of $15 million to deal with the needs of the building. It occurs to me that there is a much larger and wider market question that really needs to be addressed around condos. And condos and groups of condos are made into investments called REITs, real estate investment trusts, which are then purchased by pension funds and big hedge funds and all of these different investment groups. And I just wonder if this building is not symptomatic of a larger problem throughout the real estate industry, where you've got these investments, which were real capital in these buildings, which is not stable, cannot be insured, to Gwen's point, and the value that is supposed to be there really isn't there. I really wonder what that's going to mean.
My thing is, we didn't have to wait this long to know that the value wouldn't be there. I mean, certain things are immediately apparent. If you're a thinking person, you would know that, well, it sounds great for a year or two, but after that, things are going to change. If you understand the sea, if you live by the sea, have ever lived with the sea, you know the sea is in charge. You could think what you want to think. The sea is in charge. It goes where it wants to go. It does what it wants to do. So
what I'm asking is, if so much of the economy is invested in these sorts of assets, what's going to happen to the economy when this is exposed? That's really where I'm going.
My contention is it has been exposed, and people are not paying attention. They're not considering it as a very important point. This was exposed from the very beginning. Do not build homes here. This is not the place for it. This is not the environment for it. and the safety of your project cannot be guaranteed. You may think, you know, you have all the materials to section off an area and whatnot, but the sea is in charge. That's what I know from growing up. The sea does whatever it wants to do. And you have to get out of the way and cooperate with it or face the consequences. We've run out of time, but we certainly haven't run out of conversation. We'll continue this conversation. It's a very important one. And especially for people who are not necessarily accustomed to living by the sea and having to understand the sea has its laws. It makes its own rules. And it would be wise to understand those rules before you think you could dominate it and make it do what you want it to do. Thanks so much for calling in, and let's talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye.